Welcome back to another episode of You Had to Be There, the podcast where we deep dive into the crowd of concerts, artists, the music industry, and more. I'm your host, Julia Gomberg. After a month hiatus, I am so glad to be back in action and getting to interview some amazing trailblazers in the music world. This week's guest is no exception. I'm excited to introduce Brianna on the pod. Brianna started songwriting at the age of 9 and soon after gained a love for performing. She has since dedicated herself to her craft by discovering her unique sound and who she is as an alternative rock and pop artist. From lyrics to stage presence to personal style and image, she has created the full artist package that is Brianna. As always, you can find Brianna's socials and music links in the episode show notes, as well as her personal playlist she curated alongside the episode release. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Okay, cool. So yeah, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Brianna. I'm an alternative pop artist from Long Island, New York.
I was just telling Brianna before we started recording, but I checked her out and I've been listening to her music all afternoon. So I'm very excited to ask lots of questions. First, I wanted to ask you, how did you come up with like the spelling of your stage name? Because I love it.
Thank you. I get that question a lot, actually. So my birth name is spelled B-R-I-A-N-N-A and it's pronounced Brianna, but my whole life, everyone would call me Brianna. Anna, and my mom would get so bothered by it. She hated it. And like all my friends would joke about it and everything, because like I would also correct people and be like, oh, it's actually Brianna, which like you hate to be that person because it's like so awkward. When people still call you Brianna, it's just like, oh, okay, I tried.
Totally.
And so one day in middle school, I put in my bio like the phonetic spelling of my name. And so I put it as B-R-E-E-O-N-U-H. And all my friends thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. And then I started making music. And I have like a pretty like long Italian last name that's just like not convenient for anyone to say. And so I decided to make it my stage name because I was like, now nobody's ever going to call me Brianna because it's like right in front of them. They'll always call me my real name. So that's how I got that.
Yeah, I loved it too. I mean, honestly, I probably would have been unfortunately one of those people. And one of my best friends is also named Brianna, who has lived this tragedy. So
Shout out to other Brianna, if you're
listening. Yes, she better be. I'd love to hear, like, so at the start of, or even before your career took off, like, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with music growing up and how that evolved?
Yeah, so I don't come from a musical family at all. I was kind of like definitely like different than the rest of my family. It just kind of like came out of nowhere. And it was always something that I feel like I was just born being passionate about. But yeah, I didn't have anyone in my family that sang or played any instruments, but my dad was definitely like a huge music junkie. And he still is. I grew up listening to like the Beatles and Billy Joel. And my dad always had a very like emotional connection to music, which always really inspired me. Like he always had a story for every single song that he would listen to. And so I feel like that kind of sparked like my emotional connection to music. But as far as like singing and playing instruments and stuff like that, that was just something that I always wanted to do. And I remember like being in elementary school, and at my school you couldn't join choir until you were in fourth grade, and I was like so excited to get to fourth grade because I wanted to join choir. And yeah, so I joined choir when I was in elementary school. I started taking guitar lessons when I was 10, and then I joined a classical youth choir when I was like 11, and we got to sing at like Carnegie Hall and the Lincoln Center, and we got to sing at like ice skating competitions and like all this stuff. It was really cool, but I always knew that I didn't want to be a classical singer, and I wanted to, you know, like do like the whole like pop type thing. Right. And there's like this really funny picture with like my first act electric guitar in my room with like this like sparkly sequined shirt and like crazy makeup on. And like, I was just like, I'm literally so cool. I'm a rock star. And so that was just always what I wanted to do. And, I ended up actually for a few years having like some medical issues. And so I had to drop out of that choir. I had to be homeschooled. I couldn't take guitar lessons anymore.
Wow.
And like during that time, I kind of was just thinking about, you know, like how short life was. I was pretty much bedridden for like probably like 3 or 4 years. And like when you come out of that, you realize how short life is. And I really like that whole time, I would just daydream about how this is what I wanted to do with my life. And so I decided to bite the bullet. Once I found a really good treatment that was working for me, I decided that I wanted to start recording my own music. I started recording around 17, but I started writing around like, I started writing songs technically when I was 9, but they weren't good because I was 9. But I got really sure. serious about songwriting around the time that like I was like in the in-between parts of being sick, where I was still home and everything, but I started to get that like inspiration of wanting to do something creative.
Right.
And so I started getting really serious about writing when I was 14. And then eventually I got a lot better. And that's when I started recording at 17. And I started releasing music my senior year of high school.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it was interesting turn of events.
Yeah, sure. It's such a journey, but like I always preach that like music, once you find music, it has such a roundabout way of like leading you in life. And it's so interesting. Like I love just everyone has such unique versions of that. I also like relate on so many levels of like the Beatles dad, that is my dad. Yes, for sure.
The dad rock.
He must have
the
been
Long Island dad rock.
Right. I'm from Westchester, so very similar. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, totally. Like I remember just like being in the car with my dad and like driving through Babylon Village and him just like playing like Yellow Submarine and like all of these.
Totally. Yeah,
I think that's where I kind of get like the rock type accent in my music, because I don't consider myself a rock artist, but I think that I have like an alternative like edge to it, and I feel like that's really where I got that influence. And so I like incorporating those two worlds of like, you know, the like pop stuff that I grew up listening to and everything. Right. Like that
totally makes sense, and it's like the best of the best. If you're gonna be like influenced, those are like the best. I mean, I guess it's biased, but I think definitely some of the best, no question. Yeah, was your dad like psyched that you wanted to take guitar lessons?
My dad thought it was really cool. It was actually funny because I got so frustrated in my guitar lessons, because like I was one of those kids where like if I wasn't immediately good at it, I was like, I hate this. Totally. And I really, really wanted to learn how to play guitar so bad, but my guitar teacher had a drum kit in his studio, and so like we would spend half of the lesson doing drums. And
whoa,
my dad thought the guitar thing was cool, but he loved coming in and hearing me play the drums. And it was one of those things where like I wanted a drum set so bad. And like, my mom was like, you're not having a drum set.
Totally. Right. Nothing.
Like my mom runs a daycare and she's like, you're not having a drum set in the house.
Oh my gosh. What a combo.
And so it was like kind of like a little secret with like me, my guitar teacher, my dad, my mom knows about it now, where like I would spend half of my guitar lesson playing drums. And so my dad loved to like come and watch me do those things. Like he's always been like the dad, like with his phone up in the crowd, like recording the whole thing. And like he would come to my voice lessons, and same thing with my mom. My mom would drive me like 40 minutes away for my voice lessons, and she would like sit there the whole time and listen. They've always been like extremely supportive of everything that I've wanted to do. My parents are just very much so the kind of parents that as long as me and my brother are happy, they're happy.
Right.
And so I'm very lucky, because I know a lot of people that are like in this industry where, you know, their parents aren't very supportive and they want them to have something more stable. But right. My parents have been absolutely amazing throughout everything I've ever wanted to do.
Yeah, they probably, I mean, like you said, if you're kind of the first in your family to really showcase this talent, like that's so amazing on them to really nurture that. You said you started writing songs at 9, which is really sweet. I would love to know, like, what, I guess, how has your songwriting process evolved? And I guess, like, what instruments do you play and do you incorporate in your career? And sort of, like, what does that whole process look like?
Yeah, so I've definitely evolved since I was 9. I remember I had, like, this little, like, journal, and, like, I would just, like, write, like, really like very obviously written by 9-year-old songs. I have no idea where they are. They'll like haunt me someday when I'm like, you know, in my 30s and unpacking boxes from my attic, probably.
Right.
But it's definitely evolved. I feel like writing is my favorite part of the process. I love recording, but there's just like something so special about like creating something from the ground up, and like that starting process of like starting with just a melody or just starting with like one line, like I'll be in like Target or something like that, and I'm like, I have to stop shopping right now and pull out my notes app.
Right.
And like that's my favorite part of the process. But yeah, I play a little bit of guitar. I play a little bit of keys. I play a little bit of ukulele. I'm no like Led Zeppelin on the guitar. Like I got my like 10 chords and I can do that. But
yeah,
I love to collaborate with like other people when it comes to writing my music. I have like session guitarists that will come in and I'll be like, this is what I want it to sound like. This is the melody that right. I like. Sometimes I'll have like tones or something saved on my phone and like I'll show them the tones and we try to replicate something similar to that.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I really like working with a team. I have a really awesome producer. His name is Steve Venti. He produced the whole Overkill EP. And we started working together, like, seriously, a little less than a year ago.
Mm.
And I had known him before then. We had a couple sessions, but, like, I kind of, like, locked him in as, like, my, like, resident producer, like, a little less than a year ago. He, like, knows my style in and out, especially through the whole process of recording the EP. Like, he really just got to know the type of sounds that I like and the type of chords that I like and everything like that. And so that's made the writing process a lot easier, because like what sounds like gibberish to like anyone else coming out of my mouth, like he'll understand it and he'll be able to like make something super cool
right
out of it. And so yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's, I've heard that, like it's almost like a secret language between the songwriter and the artist and the producer. And it's like, once you find what like really clicks, yeah, it's so cool. I mean, just, I always think of, and I know that I guess I'll go on a limb and assume Billie Eilish is an influence for you. And the way you're kind of describing it reminds me of like her process with Phineas, of just kind of like magic, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And we have like our own language, kind of like you were saying, where like I'll be like, I want this to sound more crunchy, and like I'll bring like friends to the studio and they're like, what are you talking about? Like he knows exactly what I'm talking about, like
right, and he's the only one who needs to know.
Exactly, like he gets it. And so he's awesome.
Are you independent?
Yes, so I've been independent the whole time that I've been making music, which is like 3.5-4 years now since I started releasing.
Yeah, like how has that been? Like, do you like, I guess, having, I hear like a huge advantage, you know, it's like creative control, like, and what other aspects do you like about it or maybe dislike?
Yeah, it's definitely like, it's definitely all over the place. Yeah. There's some really great benefits. I love just like you were saying, the creative control. Like, I can't imagine making a song that I absolutely love and adore and then like having people tell me that I can't release it like that.
Right.
That would like break my heart. And I feel like one day when I hopefully do sign to a label, I'd like that label to have a similar taste and vision, because that's ideal, obviously. If I'm going to sign to someone, I want them to really believe in everything that I'm creating. And hopefully they wouldn't want to turn down my songs. But
totally.
I love having the creative control. And I love getting to pick the people I work with too. That's a really nice thing. Being able to like my team full of people that I really connect with and that I really believe in, especially when it comes to my band. Like, I've worked with management in the past that has like tried to eliminate certain band members, and I had to be like, no, you're not doing that. Like, I want them here. Right. And so that like definitely was a test as to like, you know, dealing with those kind of situations. But yeah, I like getting to handpick the people that I have, and all the people that are in my band that I work with are people that I really believe in and I want to keep around.
That's awesome.
My manager Casey is also like amazing, and I absolutely love and adore her. I feel like that's probably one of my favorite parts, especially with like we were talking about like Steve. Like, he gets it, he gets me. And so
right.
I like having that control. Like, it's not like, okay, we made you a studio session at like this random place and like you're gonna go and you're gonna make a song.
Right.
Where it's like, I know the people that I connect with, and I know the people that know me and like my artistry in and out. And it's always great to work with other people. I love finding new people to work with and getting to build those relationships, but I also like having like my safe people
right.
that I know I can rely on and like fall back on.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, but of course, being an independent artist definitely is hard. I mean, like, the PR aspect of it can be hard and stuff like that when you're on your own.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, marketing, you're doing, like, you're wearing so many hats. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Especially the financial, because it's crazy how much, like, marketing and stuff like that costs. So,
yeah.
You know, even studio time and stuff like that is so expensive. I remember when I was making my first EP, it was summer before I started my freshman year of college, and I was working four jobs that summer to be able to pay for the production of my EP. And I was literally working 7 days a week. Did not see my friends, did not have a summer. And like in the end, like it's worth it. And I feel like it really makes me appreciate my music more.
Right.
Because I have to, you know, work so hard to keep it going. And so I'm grateful for the experience of being an independent artist. Like I've had a great time, and I feel like I've learned a lot of like good lessons in it. I've learned a lot about what I'm capable of. Even with this whole like EP release, like the whole team that I had working with me, you know, like a lot of us are new to this, right, and do like such a big drop and, you know, a bigger scale show than what we've done in the past, to be able to like come together and learn how to do all those things together was just like a really beautiful thing that I'm grateful that I got to experience. But of course the end goal is always to, you know, get signed one day and stuff like that. But I'm grateful for the experience of being an independent artist, because I feel like there are some people where, you know, it just happens for them so fast, and, you know, they blow up and all of a sudden they have all these people on what they need to be doing. And I think it's so important to have that growing time of knowing what you want and learning about yourself and learning about the kind of music that you want to make in order to be able to advocate for yourself in those, like, you know, bigger meetings and stuff like that, and really be able to carry yourself as an artist.
Yeah, that was so well said. And you, I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, no, totally. Super articulate. I totally agree. Like, I think it's, I can tell also, like, from probably your experience, like, it's developed a lot of confidence for yourself. And like, that's the other thing, like, when you eventually do get signed, you want to walk into a room and know exactly what you want and what you need from these people. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's so unfortunately easy to get, like you said, like, things move quickly and you get swept up and caught up with trusting the wrong people. But it's like, really, it's like setting yourself up with so much success because you had to work so hard for it. But yeah, in terms of marketing, that's definitely a peak interest of mine, because that's what I worked in. And I saw that you had one of your songs, How Does It Feel, go a little viral on TikTok. Looks like it received over 14,000 streams in just the first month, which is awesome. TikTok to me is a beast and an animal that scares me and intimidates me. So I'm always curious, how has your relationship with TikTok been? And like, yeah, how did you go viral?
For years, I was like trying to crack the algorithm code. And I was just like, so stuck in that like 200 view jail that like everyone talks about.
That's my life.
I was so stuck, and I was trying so hard, and I was getting so burnt out with like making videos and everything. I was like, oh my god, nobody cares. And then I got a DM from this guy, and he was like, I have 600,000 followers on TikTok, and I'm gonna, you know, make a video with your song. I'm charging $20 and blah. And I've done that before. Like, I've had like influencers like be like, oh yeah, like I do like, you know, promos and stuff like that. Like, I'll make a video with your song. I like it. This is how much I charge. And I've only done it like once or twice before. And so like, it wasn't weird to me and whatever. He made the video. He posted it. I looked at it. It was posted. And I was like, okay, cool. He posted it. So I sent him $20. And then he deleted the video and he blocked me on everything.
Oh my gosh.
And so I made a video about it, and the video that he was supposed to, that he like made his TikTok to, was How Does It Feel, because it like had dropped that day. So I was like, oh, can you use this song of mine?
Right.
So I made a video about it, and that video ended up going very viral.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I guess people like drama. So like, I guess that was
so the true. The story time drama TikToks are my favorite.
So, oh my god. And yeah, I guess like drama does well. And so the video has like 7 million views right now or something like that.
Wow.
And wow. It was really cool to see, like, people's response to it, because I was, like, preparing for, like, everyone to be like, you're stupid and you're dumb. Like, why would you ever believe this? Which, of course, there's, like, a few of those people. But for the majority, there were a lot of people that just really wanted to support. And they were like, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. Like, I'm going to make a video using your song. And so, for the first time ever, like, I had people just, like, wanting to make videos to my song, which was really, really cool. When I was getting tagged in so many different videos of people, like, you know, like, doing little TikToks, showing their outfits, lip syncing, stuff like that. I'm like, this is, I've never had this before. And so, like, I feel like that was my favorite part of the whole experience, was just, like, seeing how, like, much other people, like, cared to make me feel, like, you know, happy. It was just, like, it was so heartwarming. I was like, oh my god, guys, like, guys care, like, that's so cool. And so my following went up and everything like that, and for, like, the first time I was getting, like, a good amount of streams, like, within my first release week, which, like, really hasn't happened before. I've always, like, been, you know, a very, very small artist, and I think before that I was at, like, 300 monthly listeners, and then like, in, like, the heat of all that, I went up to, like, 6,000 or, like, 5,000 monthly listeners, which I'd never had before. For me, like, think about 5,000 people that are listening to my music, like, that's crazy. Like, imagining 5,000 people in a room, that's a lot of people. So, and it was just nice to, like, you know, get that push of, like, okay, like, people like it, like, people get it, they care. And, like, people on TikTok are mean. So I was really scared that people were going to be like, oh, he deleted it because your song sucks. Oh, and then I was like waiting for the comments. And then people are like, wait, this is so good. This is actually such a good song. I added it to my playlist. I love this song. People were DMing me and everything and asking me about when I play shows and stuff like that. And this past show at Brooklyn Made was the first time that I'd ever met people that I didn't know at my shows that, like, had previously listened to my music.
Came
to the show because they found me on TikTok and stuff like that. And I was singing Lie to You, and I, like, looked in the audience, and there was this girl sitting there, and she was singing every single word.
Oh my god,
got me so choked up, because I'm like, that's crazy. I've never had that before. I've never looked in the audience and not recognized someone that's singing the lyrics to my songs. It's always been, like, my friends, like, my parents, or, like, stuff like that. And so, like, to have people there that were genuinely just there because they enjoy my music and because they wanted to be in that environment, and, like, not because, you know, they're my friends or my family, was, like, so special. And it's so reassuring that, like, I'm doing something that people do like, and, you know, it's not, I shouldn't, like, you know, stop doing it. Like, I should keep doing it. Because before all this happened, I was, like, definitely very much so in that, like, I've been doing this for 4 years and nothing's happened yet. Like, maybe I'm just not meant for this. And so I feel like that whole, like, going viral moment just gave me a lot of, like, reassurance that there are people out there that will like this. They just haven't heard it yet. And so that's definitely been, like, a saving grace for me to keep going.
That just, like, popped the bubble for me of, like, I started to think there's, like, I had a conspiracy that viral wasn't real. Like, so hearing it firsthand is so cool. And I also love that the, like, transition of, like, connecting with people online connected people in real life to you. Like, the whole, it's not just, you know, I think people sometimes, like, TikTok gets a bad rap because it's like you're on your phone, but, like, I mean, obviously music goes beyond that, but then to also get to experience and connect with people at a show, it must have been just, like, such a mind-blowing experience.
I feel like so many people, like, just look at TikTok followers as, like, a number, and they get so hyper fixated on, like, I just need to get to this number. Like, if I have this number on my profile, then, like, you know, people are going to notice me and they're going to care. But it's like, those are real people. Deciding to click that button and are deciding to be invested in you and, like, the things you have to offer. And that's so cool. And I know, like, so many people just follow random people and, like, you know, that's cool too. But, like, that, like, have people follow and then, like, actually be, like, engaging with the content and, like, commenting and, you know, reposting the songs and making videos with the songs and DMing. Like, it really is so special, and it really is, like, a little community. And it's so nice that I feel like I have a little community of people that enjoy what I do.
Completely. I'm like such a, since I was, like, had my first AOL screen name, I'm such a internet proponent, like, had my Tumblr era. So I've always been, like, such a believer in that. And like, I know so many artists that even I've worked with who have had similar stories, at least of just like connecting with people, like doing duets on TikTok with other musicians, and like just how it can quickly evolve into like really meaningful connections. And just like you said, like the followers to the fans are just as important to as the music, you know, especially on a platform like TikTok. Did you just start getting, like, did your phone just start blowing up? Like, how did you notice it at first?
Yeah, it was weird because I remember I posted the video and it had like zero views for like a solid 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, it got shut down. And then I went to bed, and like before I went to bed, I checked the views and I had like 82 views or something, and had been up for like a few hours.
Wow.
I was in view jail, but I wasn't in that bad of view jail. So I was like, I definitely got shadow banned. I was like, whatever, to bed. And I woke up in the morning and it had 10,000 views. I was like,
oh my gosh.
Cool. And then it just kept going up and up and up, like so fast. Like it was like, whoa. It's just, I can't even like fathom how many people there are that like actually exist in the world. Like, it's crazy. Cause like the video would like all of a sudden, like I would refresh it and it would go up like 150,000 views. And I'm like, that's insane.
Oh my gosh.
Looking at this video right now.
Literally. And yeah.
So, like, it's so like weird and like dystopian. Like, I just like, it was just, it was very so much. Weird.
Yeah.
Very like out of body experience. And I remember at the end of the day, because it was a Saturday when like all that was happening, so I was off from work. And like, I remember my neck hurt so bad at the end of the day from just like looking down at my phone and responding to comments, because I'm like, I have to respond to everyone, but like I couldn't keep up with it.
Wow.
And so it was just, it was so, so weird, so crazy. Like, my mom and my boyfriend's mom were like helping me respond to comments and stuff like that. And like, they're like, we're gonna boost your video. And I'm like, thanks guys. Like, everyone was like coming out of the woodworks. Like, all my friends were like, we'll help you respond to comments. I'm like, cool. And aww. So yeah, it was like, it was also like a cool thing for like my friends and my family, because they're like, oh my god, like it's finally happening.
Yeah,
and like, people are noticing.
Oh, and absolutely.
Yeah, it was just, it was crazy. It was just, when that's happening, like it, like I was saying, very out of body, because it's like there's so much action happening on my phone right now, but the second that I shut off my phone, like my life is normal. Like, I'm still like, you know, I'm still like just me, and like, you know, I'm going about my day, I'm going to work, I'm like, you know, like it's just so weird that it's all like isolated on your phone. It's
right,
like millions of people now, like, you know, have seen my face, but like my life is still like pretty much the same. So it's like, it's a very weird thing. I don't know. Going viral is weird.
Yeah, totally. It is. Yeah, it is very dystopian. And it's like two worlds like simultaneously. I don't even know. But yeah, I think it's so interesting too. I think strategy on TikTok can really stump people no matter what, you know, field they're in, mm-hmm. if they're really trying to promote themselves. But even what you're saying, like, the authenticity of that video of you, it almost like, to me, it sounds like you're like FaceTiming a friend. That's like how I always equate those like drama TikTok story times. And it's just the perfect format for that type of app. And I think, unfortunately, people tend to overthink it and think they need high production and that they need to be really good at editing. But it's like one of those raw moments that really ends up working.
Yeah, like TikTok is one of those apps where like you'll spend like 2 hours editing a video and then you post it and it gets like 10 likes, but like some random clip from like someone's Snapchat memories from like 3 years ago gets like 8 million likes or something like that. Like, it's just like, yeah, it's just like, it's kind of very much so like throw it at a wall and see if it sticks. Like, that's kind of how I think about it. So I don't know, it's weird. I still feel like I haven't cracked the code. Like, I'm like, I'm not gonna get in more drama. I don't want that. I don't want to do that. Like, right, that's not my brand.
That's but, fair, like, too. Like, yeah,
really just been posting a lot of stuff like promoting my music. The video still gets like, I feel like a little push like once a week, and then like it goes away for a few days.
Interesting.
And so I've been trying to be really consistent with like not only posting stuff promoting my music, but also like behind the scenes stuff from like shows and behind the scenes from music videos and studio sessions and stuff like that, like kind of like vlog type stuff to like show my personality and whatever. So I'm kind of trying to mix between those so that when like the video does get pushed out, there's like stuff for people to look at, you know, that like has to do with my music. And so like they might like click on it and be like, oh, there's already like existing content
here. Right. Yeah, that's smart. That makes a lot of sense. Have you, like you've mentioned, you really like working with other people. Have there been any people on TikTok you've connected with and worked with?
I've definitely connected with people as far as like people who've listened to my music and like DMing back and forth with them and stuff like sure. that. But like as far as other artists, not yet, which is something that I really definitely want to like start doing.
Yeah.
I love like meeting other creative people and like being friends with other creative people. And I don't live in an area that's like that has like an abundance of those people.
Right.
Because I'm on Long Island. Like if I was in the city and stuff like that, I feel like I would have like 800 million artist friends.
Totally.
But I feel like that would definitely be really cool to like find like different collaborations and stuff like that through TikTok.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something I should dive in. You're getting me to think.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you never know. People, I think, are so open unless you're that horrible guy that blocked you. But his loss, yeah, honestly. Like, yeah. But yeah, so I'm curious to talk a little bit about like your musical style. So like, yeah, can you talk about your musical style, I guess?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's so hard because I feel like I have so many different influences and there's like so many different things that I want to do with my music. I'm definitely loving the whole like dark pop type thing recently. Right. And that's definitely like the lane that I want my music to shift to. Like definitely more songs like Decoy and How Does It Feel. Like I feel like those are definitely like very prime, like dark pop type stuff. Those are like probably my two favorites on the EP. I also love Wish. Wish is like so fun. But I also have been loving like Amy Winehouse. I've loved Amy Winehouse forever. And I feel like that's kind of where a lot of the inspiration Courtesy came from, with like that kind of like jazzy type edge. But she also has like this darker aspect of like jazz. Like she has like a really cool way of mixing those two worlds, and I love the way she does that. And so I feel like that's kind of an avenue that I want to discover, like some weird mix between like pop, jazz, and like just dark alternative, like some weird mishmash. That is where I want to be. And the past couple weeks I've been writing like crazy, because I feel like when we were promoting the EP and everything, I couldn't think about anything other than the EP. So I wasn't writing at all. Since the EP's dropped, the past couple weeks, I've been writing like crazy, because it was like I finally could like, I don't want to say like, you know, get the Overkill EP like out of my mind, but like finally feel like I can start something new.
Yeah.
Now that chapter is like, you know, not closed, but like it's out. And like right. people are able to like listen to it and perceive it, and it's being promoted and everything like that. And I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right. It's kind of ironic, the name being Overkill.
Yeah.
You're like, sure. But so, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really excited to make new stuff. And I feel like through the process of making this EP, it really helps me pinpoint what I like and what I don't like as far as my songs. Cause I feel like the past year I've been in like a very experimental phase with my music, where I've been trying like a lot of things, and like looking back on it, like Wasteland, which was like my single in like October, was very much so that like dark, like weird alternative type thing. And then the follow-up single was Lie to You, which was like very jazz. And then I feel like the EP really like combined both of those two singles into like some like love child of those two.
Right.
And so now I feel like that's like, it really like reassured me as to what my style is supposed to be. And maybe like in a couple of years that'll change. Maybe one day, like I was talking to Steve and he was like, you should make a country song. And I'm like, I don't think that's gonna happen right now, but maybe one day.
That seems to be the move. Everyone seems to be going country these days.
Yeah. I just heard that like Post Malone and Morgan Wallen song.
Yeah.
Song.
Yeah.
I was driving home from work, I was like, oh my god, like why did Post Malone kind of eat with the country?
I know, he did a whole country set at that country music festival that like I forget what it's called, that Stagecoach, and I guess he's really going for it. But yeah, could be in your future.
Yeah, maybe I'll join him with the country one day.
Yeah, you'll do a duet. But yeah, no, that's really cool. I see what you mean too. It's kind of like this again, like music taking the lead into bringing you to the next chapter kind of without you even realizing it. And I mean, I'm personally, as a music fan, that blend of like dark jazz and pop just sounds like really cool. So I hope, I'm excited for you. In terms of like influences, you mentioned Amy Winehouse. Who are your pop influences?
I love the pop girlies. I have been loving Nessa Barrett recently. I know she's dropping an album soon and I'm so excited because she's been teasing it and it sounds so good.
That's awesome.
But I absolutely adore Nessa Barrett. I love Ren for short. I love Chloe Lilac. I love Isabel La Rosa, Charlotte Sands. Like those are like my top pop girls. Ooh. And it's really funny because like I call it like hot girl music. And like I always say that I pick up on like the way that other people talk, like other like words that people say.
Right.
And like I feel like my band members have kind of like done that with me, where like I'll be like, oh, I'll pick a cover for like this show, because I usually try to throw on like one cover, and my drummer Chris texted back. He was like, I'll make a hot girl music playlist. Are we doing hot girl music? And like I'm like, yes.
Oh my god, he understood the assignment. That's amazing.
He gets it. We love Chris.
Okay, part of what I like to do with my guests is have them create a playlist, like a music playlist that goes out with their episode.
My God, that's so funny.
I'm really excited for yours already because, I'm a big Charlotte Sands fan. So I haven't heard of the other girlies. So I'm like, I feel like our tastes are a little aligned. So I'm very intrigued.
I feel like you're gonna like it. I'm excited. I've been loving Spite by Charlotte Sands.
Oh, that's so
been
good.
For like the past month. Like,
so
I just can't.
Good.
That's like the first song I listen to every morning when I get in the car to go to work.
It's crazy and amazing to me how girl pop, like, it cannot be overstated of the like girls who are doing it right. I feel like I've brought up Chapel Roan on every episode I've recorded, but it's like, I feel like legally obligated to mention her.
Yes.
Because she's just like, I mean, she's talk about authenticity. I think she's really inspiring in that way. But I think there's also just something for everyone these days, because you have like the super hyper girl pop of like Sabrina Carpenter, and then more of like the dark Billie Eilish. Like there's just everything for everyone right now.
Yeah. And that's what's so cool about like the music industry now, is that anybody can really get started.
Right.
Like it used to be like you had to be discovered in order to like even release music that anyone would ever see the light of day. And, you know, now anybody can get like TuneCore level or something like that and start distributing their own music. And so there's just like so much to choose from now. And there's so many different types of sounds that I don't think would be discovered, like so many different types of genres and like unique voices and stuff like that, that, you know, people may have never heard of, like we didn't live in this age of social media.
Right.
And so it's really cool. It's also like hard too, because I feel like there's just also so many people making music now that it's like really hard to stand out. And so there's like a weird, there's a side to both of it. There's like positives and negatives, but it is really cool that there seems to be like something for everyone.
Yeah.
And like stuff that you would never even like think of existing.
Right. I keep thinking back to you saying like the crunchy sound, like it's exactly that.
Like there's so many songs where I'm like, I have no idea what this is or how they created it, but this is insane. Like this is so good. I have no idea how their brain even worked to create this, but I love it.
Exactly. Yeah, it is really, it's like a very inspiring time, I think, to be creative in that sense too.
Yeah.
How, in terms of touring and performing, how has that been for you? Are you like someone who likes to perform? I'm personally one of those people that plays piano and sings, but only in my apartment.
I love performing.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous.
If I could do it every single day, like that's a dream, of course. It's like and like get to, you know, just sing on stage for like months at a time. But I used to absolutely hate performing. I used to be terrified. I would do like little showcases at like my voice lesson studio and like stand there and like clench my fist and shake and be like completely red and terrified.
Totally. Yeah.
And it took years for me to feel super comfortable on stage. Like, and I always felt so weird about it, because I'm like, I don't know how people just like run around and like jump around and be like so out there and like. Right. Really is a skill that you have to learn there's right. so many different aspects to being an artist. Like, there's so many different things that you kind of have to, like, master. And I feel like I'm finally on, like, a good path with my stage presence and everything. And it was something that I had to, you know, get over, because I was so scared. I was had so much stage fright. I was very, very shy growing up. Like, kid in the back of the class, not talk to anyone, super, super quiet. And so, like, being on a stage in front of people was just, like, terrifying to me.
Yeah.
And especially doing it by myself, because I had always right. been in, like, choirs and stuff like that, where, like, there were, like, 50 other kids. And the attention wasn't all on me. And, like, if I had a solo or something, it was over in 10 seconds.
Yeah. Everything you're saying, I'm like, yes, that's my experience. Yes, I was a choir kid. It's same thing.
Right? So I remember, like, taking voice lessons and, like, I had this voice teacher, her name was Tracy, and she's great, and I love her, and I worked with her for years, and she would always be like, you have, like, the voice down, you have that part, like, right. this is purely stage presence lessons from now on, like, you know,
right.
you're gonna come in, and you're gonna jump around, and you're gonna yell, and you're gonna get on your knees, and blah, 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 and, like, I would never do it, I was so scared, I was so embarrassed, like, I was like, I don't want to look stupid, but, like, right. now, I feel like... And I feel like that's definitely a confidence thing. It's like, I didn't feel, I was like some like little teenager that like had really bad acne and like a bob. Like, I was just not like, I was just not there yet with my confidence. Like, I was not feeling good about myself. And like, sure. Even in like my own artistry and stuff like that, like I was so new to everything. And so I feel like once I felt super confident in like my artistry and my songs, mm-hmm. I was able to like build that confidence on stage, but also just like as a human being, I feel like I've learned more and I've, you know, experienced more, and that's helped build my confidence as well.
Right.
But yeah, being on stage is, it's so scary at first. It's terrifying. Like it's just one of those things where you have to keep doing it in order for it to be less scary.
Right.
And this is like the first time that I've really consistently played shows. Like this past year, I've played like at least like one show a month. I feel like that's also definitely helped me like get used to it and get more comfortable. It's kind of like you just have to like throw yourself in the deep end and just like go right. for it, which like sucks. Like, it's just like, I don't want to, but right. like eventually you're just like, okay, like I'm diving in. And now like I still get jitters. I still like get nauseous. I'm still like sweaty and breaking out in hives before I go on stage. But like I've noticed like I'm shaking a little bit less, like, and I'm just having so much fun too.
Right.
Like, and I right. also feel like the crowd is a huge part of it. Like, you know, you have to be responsible for creating the energy for the crowd, I think, definitely. But it's a lot easier when it's a crowd that's excited. And a lot of the time, like when you're starting out, like, you know, you're playing to like bars of people who like don't care. I've played shows where like I'll show up to a bar and it's like all like 65-year-old men, and like they don't want to hear my music. This is not what they came for. And so like right. you kind of also have to learn to like not take it personally too, and just be like, this isn't
right
my crowd. But it's so much better when you get like a crowd of people that really like love what you're doing. Like when I opened for Rachel Bachner, like mm-hmm. our demographics and like our, you know, our people are very similar. And so
right.
like I loved that crowd, and that was the first time that like I really felt like the crowd just like gave me like a warm hug of like, we love you and we're loving everything you're doing.
Oh,
right now.
That's
and that
awesome. Made
my performance so much better because I felt so comfortable with them.
Right.
Like those were all people that like they bought tickets because they wanted to see me. And so that was also reassuring. It's just like, these people want to see me. Like they're right. gonna enjoy the show and make this a good show for them. And so I've just been having a lot more fun in that aspect.
That's really cool. It's literally exposure therapy is how I see it. And I think I sometimes regret that I didn't like get past that hurdle. I guess there's always time, but for now I'm staying behind the mic. And it's such a good point too. Like I think people's egos get in the way, and it's like a bot playing in a bar and then you're like, they don't care. Like it's almost, there's something freeing about that too. Like you're like, oh yeah. Like,
yeah.
And then for that to evolve, though, into then finding, like, those people that are really out there for you and supporting you, like, it all just kind of builds you up, I think, and on so many ways. But mm-hmm. it's so much work, too. I mean, I love that. I think it's also, like, having a good teacher is so helpful in that, like, she challenged you to, like, work on that. And, yeah, mm-hmm. it's a process. But that's so cool mm-hmm. that it's become, like, something you love.
Yeah, definitely. I never would have thought that I would have been like this confident and like have this much fun on stage. Like I always thought I would be terrified of it, but
yeah. And it must be fun with like your band and everything too.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like having other people to like feed off of on right. stage. I used to just like it would just be me up there,
right?
It's just with like tracks like playing, and it was just like there was nothing else for anyone to look at, like it was just you. But having like a 5-piece band and like having 4 other people for everyone to look at like also kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off too.
Yeah.
And just to interact with everyone too is really cool. And yeah, that's definitely made it more fun as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think I'm traumatized from those voice lesson recitals where you're like standing alone in like a small room with like 5 people watching you. But it sounds,
Yeah. I remember my voice lesson recitals, like when I first started doing voice lessons, and I was like this woman that would come to my house every year. She would rent like some like theater studio or something like that. Like it was like a very, very tiny little auditorium, and it would always have the set of whatever play the community theater was doing like in the background. And it like never made sense with any of the songs that anyone was singing. And like looking back at the videos, it's so funny.
That's so funny. Just like out of context, Wizard of Oz or something.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz, like Newsies or something. Like I don't know. Just like stuff that just like was not going with it. Like I remember one year someone sang a song from Wicked and it was like a Christmas background or something like that.
It's so funny, like the world of coming from like voice lessons and choirs and all that. You just have like funny, it's like such niche stories like that.
Yes.
It sounds like also I would imagine like having the creative control of like being up there on stage and really expressing your music the way you want to must be such an awesome aspect of it too.
Yeah, for sure. It's so fun. I love it. And I never thought that I would love performing as much as I do now because I was so scared of it. And now I'm just like, someone take me on tour with them. Like, right. My best. Like, I want to do this every single day. This is my favorite thing in the world. Like, best feeling ever. So I guess that's a goal. Someone take me on tour with them, please. Can I open for you?
Oh, that's so funny because one of my fun questions is, I guess I'll ask it now. If you could open for any artist on a tour, who would it be?
Oh my gosh. I would love to open for Nessa Barrett. She's amazing. I would love to open for Isabel La Rosa. Any of my hot girl pop girls.
You need like a hot girl tour.
Yeah, like Madison Beer just went on tour. I would have loved to open from her.
She's a Long Island girl, right?
Long Island girl. Yeah. So yeah, maybe that one day. But yeah, I feel like anyone that just aligns with like what I do, it would be so cool to tour with them. I would love to be on the road.
Yeah,
for sure. I feel like that would be fun. It's funny though, because like I get like intense like travel anxiety, but like I want to go on tour more than anything. Like I hate being in like moving vehicles. Like it's so scary for me. But like also I want to like be in a moving vehicle for 4 months straight so
that's
I can sing.
So everything. Funny. It's kind of like the stage fright thing. You just have to get over it, and then it'll become your favorite.
Get over it. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah,
that's really funny though. My friend just did merch for an artist for 5 months on a bus, like all throughout the US, and I thought she would hate it, and she ended up having, she said, like the best time of her life. So I think there's something to it, but I also agree with you, like being confined to a moving vehicle sound on day's end, I don't know, but it's worth it. It sounds like the good outweighs the bad for sure.
I think it would be worth it. I also just like, I love the people that I, you know, have on my team, like being, you know, basically having a sleepover with like my band every night would be so fun. They're so funny. They're so cool. And like, I feel like it would be a blast.
That's a good point. It's more important point of like surrounding yourself with those good people for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Another fun question. What would your dream venue be to perform at?
I feel like it has to be MSG, which is big goal. Hopefully one day we'll get there. But definitely MSG. It's just, I remember I saw Billy Joel there with my dad for like my 14th birthday. And that's such a core memory of mine. Yeah. And like, I'm one of those people where like every time I go to a concert, like I just imagine like, you know, maybe that can be me one day and stuff like that. So, you know, I remember going to that concert with my dad and like thinking about that. And so that would be a cool, fun, full circle moment.
Yes.
I also love to play Gov Ball.
Yes. I could see that for you for sure.
I feel like that would be so fun.
Have you gone?
I went this past year for the first time.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I remember, like, in high school and stuff like that, like, I always wanted to go and everything, but I was broken in high school, so
fair.
I finally got to go this year, and I was like, oh my god, I feel like an adult. Like, high school me would be so excited.
That's awesome.
I went on the Saturday, so I got to see, it was like 21 Savage. I got to see Claire Rosencrans, who I love.
Oh, nice.
I saw Sabrina Carpenter, which was awesome.
Oh my gosh, so cool.
Yeah, The Killers. So it was
wow, you made fun. Your rounds. You got to see a lot.
Yeah. It was nice because, like, a lot of the people that I wanted to see weren't at the same time as each other.
That's always, which,
like,
the best.
Some of my friends had that, like, problem where they're like, oh my god, who do I go see? And, like,
oh yeah, that's so stressful. No, that's awesome. I've done a few gut balls, and it's always like, I'm like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You just gotta, like, commit and pace yourself to everything and try to see as much as you can. So
exactly.
Yeah, the vibes. But that's such a, I definitely agree, that would be such a cool thing. That's like another New York staple, like MSG.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that would be, again, like another, like, full circle moment for me, because it's here, it's where I grew up.
I was gonna ask, like, what's next for you, and it sounds like it's starting tomorrow. It's working on new music, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I want to release new music. I'm hoping to get another single out, so that would be nice. I want to keep making more music. Eventually want to come out with an album or something like that.
Yeah,
and just, you know, keep pushing as much as I can, and just welcome good things and good opportunities.
And going viral on TikTok again, maybe.
Yes, and going viral again, not for drama.
Yeah, not for drama. That's for the drama. Key. Yes, I love that. My favorite question to end the episode with, guests, that's definitely going to put you on the spot, so take your time. If you could create or, like, come up with an album title that sums up your music career so far, what would you title it?
Oh my god, that's such a good question. Wait, oh my god, that's... I have no idea.
So funny. Everyone's always, like, so stumped.
Oh my god. I have, like, a list of album titles.
Oh my god. I'm obsessed with that.
In my note. I Hate That You Were Good to Me in my album title list. And I feel like that's, like, fun. I like that. But I don't know if that sums up my whole life, though. I'm writing a song right now called I Hate That You Were Good to Me. And I feel like that's a fun little thing.
Yeah,
I want my whole life, though. Oh my god, this is so hard.
That is hard. I mean, in your defense, you're right, because there's a lot of it can be your present phase if you want, so whatever phase. Yeah.
This is funny. I have You're the Problem. That's kind of crazy.
I love that.
Oh, this is cute. All the Little Things. I feel like that sums up.
Oh, I love that. That is a really good one.
I feel like I am definitely the kind of person that appreciates all of the little things. And that's been my favorite part about my career so far is, like, you know, a lot of my friends were saying, because we went around the room, we were hanging out, and it was like, name your favorite thing that's happened to you this year and your, like, least favorite thing that's happened to you this year. Mm. And my favorite thing that happened to me this year was, like, getting DMs from people that was saying that they were, like, my music. And my friends were like, it wasn't gaining, like, 30,000 followers. I'm like, no, like, it's the people out of those followers that are actually, like, engaging and, like, reaching out and, like, telling me how much they care. Like, that's really what means a lot. So I feel like all the little things would definitely sum up
my
career.
That's perfect. It's also, like, as a music fan who DMs their favorite artists, like, delusionally, that's, like, reassuring to know.
I'm happy that I could give you that.
Yeah, I'm the most delusional DMer of, like, D-list celebrities, but that's a whole other episode topic. So.
No, I love those TikToks where it's like, I've DM'd Justin Bieber the same thing every single month for the past 6 years.
And no, that's literally me.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Maybe that's how I'll become viral. I just need a response from someone. And then
there you go. Just keep at it. Keep at it.
So funny. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. This was such a fun convo. And, like, I am definitely a fan. I can't wait to see what playlist you put together and what music you come out with.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.